Exactamente.
Don't blame men. lots of women are all overeating too. They have their issues.
Give
it a year or two. I was in meetings with the Aubrey, and she was like, "Oh, you're 40 women here." I'm like,
well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. It's nice to see such a large group gathered for this discussion of the Internet Governance Forum. These have been going on for many ICANN meetings now. I've lost count completely. But they've often been a source of really useful discussion, and I'm hoping that you've come with lots of questions and comments this morning. We have a very good panel this morning, I think, and I'll introduce them by name first. My name is Bill Graham. I'm with the Internet Society. Also on the panel are Marcus Coomer from the IGF Secretariat, who I'm sure you all know, Thomas Schneider from the Swiss government, Alice Munuya from Kenya, probably the next host of the IGF, Carlos Afonso from Brazil, and Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. I've asked the speakers to be reasonably brief today and basically give you an update on the status of the planning for the future of the IGF, the discussions about whether there will be a future for the IGF, and whether and what kind of improvements there will be to the IGF. And then we'll just open the floor for questions afterward. Unless you have a burning point for clarification or something, I think we'd prefer to have the questions and discussion after the speakers. And the first of those speakers is Marcus Coomer, who will talk to us about the current status of both the IGF and the negotiations going on in New York. Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning all. It occurred to me that for me this is the last time I address a public meeting on the IGF in my present capacity, and it occurred to me that the first meeting after Tunis in 2005 was also an ICANN meeting, the ICANN meeting in Vancouver. Some of you were there as well, and you may remember that there was not unanimous enthusiasm with regard to this new animal that came out of WSIS. There was a lot of skepticism, especially from the internet community, but also from the business community. The general tone was, we have enough meetings already, why do we need another meeting? Now, over the years, this has changed quite drastically. We had a real buy-in, I would say, from the technical community and from the business community. Civil society, right from the beginning, was more enthusiastic. They had was part of their proposals to have such a platform. And as Bill said, we had this kind of gathering at every ICANN meeting. While at the beginning it was sort of held in the main hall, there was much more political. I think that has gone away. People don't see it as an issue that deserves a sort of defensive action. They see it more as something to discuss, to exchange information, and the general tone turned into a positive acceptance of the IGF. And the meetings I think we had from Athens via Rio de Janeiro, Hyderabad, Sharm el-Sheikh to Vilnius proved that we were able collectively to improve in a piecemeal fashion, I would say, to learn from past meetings, to learn our lessons and to improve on them. And this was widely, I think, the generally held view by those who participated in forums. We also greatly, I think, improved our ways to reach out to those who may not have the possibility to travel. We increased our efforts to facilitate remote participation. In Hyderabad, we first started with remote hubs. We had 7 or 8 back then. Now, in Vilnius, we had 32 remote hubs, most of them in developing countries. We had 1,300 registered participants in these remote hubs, and we're not talking about people who occasionally visit the website, but who actually physically participated in one of these hubs located at a local university or wherever, which were kind of mini IGFs gathering local communities, stakeholders from all stakeholder groups, including governments. We had very positive reactions from these hubs. For instance, one of them was read out at the Vilnius meeting from the Bangladesh hub, where they said for them they had never such an enlightening discussion on issues related to internet governance. As you will remember, last year we had a very broad-based consultation on the IGF because the mandate was up for renewal. We had online process and we had a physical formal consultation at the meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh, and the response was overwhelmingly in favor of keeping the IGF within existing parameters as a non-decision-making platform for dialogue. Where are we now? Strangely, what has happened since, looking at the discussions that has taken place first in the Commission on Science and Technology for Development in Geneva in May, and then later in the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York, it looked as if we were in front of a terminally ill patient. There were lots of calls for improvement, a need for not just further improvement, just improvement, because it seemed that the IGF as it is was not good enough. But nobody actually was able to spell out what was wrong. What we have now is a draft resolution that goes to the General Assembly. It has not yet been adopted formally. The General Assembly? 24th November. No, that was the second committee. As far as I know, it still has to go to, it's usually the last week before Christmas that the General Assembly then adopts what comes from the various committees, and we can safely assume that the General Assembly will adopt what comes from the committee, which is basically a resolution extending the mandate for another 5 years and with a call for reform and for improvement without specifying exactly what is meant, and at the same time recognizing that there is a process going on in Geneva on the Commission on Science and Technology for Development, which decided in May to set up a working group to ask the president of the committee to set up a working group to discuss improvements on the IGF. Now, let me conclude with just speculating why all this, why this, these negative vibes coming from New York with regard to something that has been seen as a very positive meeting by those who actually participated in the meeting. I would think that first and foremost that not everybody is comfortable with the multi-stakeholder model. We went very far in experimenting new forms of international cooperation where every participant takes part as equal, sits around the same table, can ask for the floor. This is not in line with traditional UN procedures where non-governmental stakeholders have a clearly defined place at the back of the room with limited opportunities to take part in the discussion. And maybe also underlying is the very nature of the IGF. We had this discussion right from the beginning. There were those who are comfortable with a forum as a platform for exchange of information, for sharing of best practices without any negotiated outcome, whereas others, I would call them the traditionalists, are used to UN meetings coming out with some negotiated document, which they then call a concrete outcome or a result, which usually is some form of paper in whatever form. And the result does not usually have any impact whatsoever. So the question, it was maybe difficult to convey that the IGF, without having a negotiated outcome, may have paradoxically more impact than those meetings where delegates spend hours and hours squabbling over words and come up with something that may or may not mean anything, but which is then hailed as a concrete outcome. Whereas from the IGF, people take home their own outcome, which they can implement in the areas where they have a possibility to implement anything. So that's where we are. I think there will be a future of the IGF, but we don't know yet what kind of future that will be. And with that, I conclude. Thank you, Bill.
Great. Thank you very much, Marcus. I hadn't realized this would be your last official opportunity to present to a group like this. So I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for all of the many presentations and all that you've contributed to the IGF. Well, Marcus introduced already the issue about improvements to the IGF and the fact that we're still having to go through a process of defining what, I guess, what is the problem and what kinds of improvements should be made. Our next speaker is Thomas Schneider. Thomas is working with Frederick Riehl, Vice Chair of the Commission for Science and Technology for Development in the United Nations, where they have been asked to create a working group on improvements to the IGF. Commission held an open consultation in Geneva a couple of weeks ago. The CSTD meeting takes place next week in Geneva, and on the 17th of December there's to be the first meeting of the working group, I understand. The working group also, I think, has not yet been appointed. So I, as much as you, am looking forward to hearing an update from Thomas. Thomas?
Thank you. As has been said, Frederick Riehl is the vice chair of the CSTD because he was the chair of the CSTD last year, also this May, actually, and he has been asked to convene this working group according to this to the ECOSOC resolution of this July. And he held two informal consultations. In fact, the first one was in Vilnius at the IGF itself, and the second one was in Geneva at the end of November. And then there was, this Monday, there was a meeting of the members of the CSTD, of the member countries of the CSTD in Geneva. And that meeting, that was 11 days before the first meeting of the working group was scheduled on the 17th as part of the intersessional meeting of the CSTD, which is taking place from 15 to 17 December in Geneva. And those present, those of the member states of the Commission present, there was a very strong majority and feeling that the group should be composed of member states of the Commission only, plus the five host countries of the IGF. I'm still waiting for the summary of that meeting to be posted on the CSCD website, which it isn't, unfortunately, but it should be there any moment. This is the situation, and the chair felt that he was not in a position to go against this clear advice of the members of the CSDD. That's why he followed their view. So this is the situation that we have now, that the group will be that there will be 20 members of the group, 15 members, that means three of every UN regions, and five members, that means the five host countries of the IGFs held so far, which is one from every region. For the meeting of the 17th, everybody who is accredited to WISIS, who is able to participate in the CSDD, which includes, and this is special for compared to other UN functional commissions, which includes also business entities, will be able to participate and will also be able to speak at the meeting of the 17th of December in Geneva. The future meetings are planned, or the future meetings of the group are planned to be closed, is what I heard this morning. That was the view of the CSDD. Everybody is free to give their views and opinions of these decisions. This is all I can say. I guess those who know us, they know what our views about this are. This is what I would say for the moment, and I'm ready to try to answer questions if some come up. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Thomas, for that that clear update. I'm suspecting you might get a question or two. The IGF every year, of course, has a host country, and the host countries are really by far the major contributors to the success of the IGF. It's a big undertaking to organize and host an IGF, tremendous logistical challenges, and on the other hand, tremendous opportunity to showcase what's going on in a host country and in the region. And so this morning I'm very happy to have with us Alice Munyoa from the Kenyan Commission, and also affiliated, I think, with the ministry. Thank you. Alice is going to be one of the key people organizing the meeting in Kenya, again, assuming there will be a meeting of the IGF in 2011 and assuming it will be in Kenya. But I'm certainly very much pulling for both those assumptions, and I'd like to ask Alice to tell us what the plans and vision are for 2011.
Thank you very much. I think I would like to prefer not to assume and to be confident in saying that we look forward to hosting you all for the IGF next year. We've proposed last week of September, as the dates that we hope to hold the meeting at the UN headquarters in Nairobi. But first, I would like to thank Marcus, who's the outgoing executive for the IGF, for all the support he's given Kenya, not only in our offer to host the sixth IGF, but also in encouraging us to hold national IGFs in the East African region, and a very successful East African IGF regional process that is quite successful and a very good model for the kind of needs we have within our context. Now, in terms of how we envision the IGF, the sixth IGF, to look like, for us, from the government of Kenya and from other stakeholders at the national level and the East African level, we're looking at it as an opportunity to address the key issues of empowering our young people. As you all know, the young people, youth and empowerment and innovation and entrepreneurship is a political and development agenda on the five East African countries, and so a key issue. And also the fact that we have increased access to broadband with the landing of fiber optic cables in the East African region, and by extension, increased access to the internet. So we would want to begin to interrogate that and create a space to begin to look at how we empower our young people using the internet. So we hope to leverage the 2011 IGF by organizing two pre-events that we look at, you know, extending the benefits of the IGF programming to build a foundation, again, to help East African youth towards creation of sustainable socioeconomic, political, and cultural activities using, you know, broadband and internet access. The two pre-events will be, one, an East African Youth and IGF Forum. We're looking at bringing young people from at university level into Nairobi it's both an East African IGF process and an IGF process, which is going to feed to the main IGF. And the idea is to prepare young people to participate constructively in the IGF process, and to also imbue their confidence and build basic skills, the use of the internet and ICTs and entrepreneurship and innovation. Another pre-event will be our ministers of high-level ministerial meeting on focusing specifically on access issues and development issues as related to to internet governance. And it will focus at looking at the broadband and internet, the challenges, opportunities offered, the youth will be ambassadors to both the high-level ministerial forum and to the IGF itself. I'll stop there and look forward to responding to any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alice. That sounds really exciting, and I think the focus on youth, it just really builds on a trend that's been developing the last couple of IGFs, so that's really exciting to hear. If we have if the technicians are ready, our next speaker has a short slide presentation. They're all up there. Do you want me? Maybe we'll, Carlos Afonso, if it's okay with you, we'll put you on last and instead ask Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce to talk about business perspectives on the IGF, I guess both where it's been and where it's going and plans for 2011. Aisha, please.
Thank you, Bill. The International Chamber of Commerce, as many of you know, is a business organization, a business membership organization, and in 2005 we launched an initiative, Business Action, to support the Information Society to contribute business expertise and bring business experts to a variety of post-World Summit on the Information Society processes, including the IGF. And I'll thank Marcus for teeing up the fact that, yes, business in the very beginning was not quite sure what to make of this forum. And so kind of, you know, begrudgingly, we all went to Greece. And what I can say is that over the last 5 years, the hesitant start that we had with the IGF has become strong support, real enthusiasm, and a recognition of the real value add that all stakeholders and business get from having the Internet Governance Forum with its multi-stakeholder format and its multi-stakeholder principles. What have we seen as the benefits? Over the years, what we've seen is that the IGF has really a unique space. Companies and governments and civil society and technical experts get a chance to talk about issues in a way that they don't get to talk about them anywhere else. No decisions are being made, so nobody's under pressure. They can just share their thoughts. They can disagree. They can learn about the reasons why someone else may think that a policy approach works better when it's done one way or another. And they can also try to convince each other of what is the appropriate way to put into place policy approaches that help to maximize the internet for more people around the world. That's been one benefit. There's also been a real trickle-down effect of what comes out at the IGF. so many workshops and main sessions generate some real recommendations for how you can approach policy challenges on a variety of internet governance issues. And what we have seen, and these are really difficult to capture, but they happen. We've seen relationships and communications built between our business experts and policymakers in a variety of countries, where they then go home and follow up the discussion and actually start to shape legislation and regulation in an appropriate way together. This has also built a more regularized communication path on a variety of issues, whether it's data protection and privacy or access issues, and building more informal partnerships that lead to a more enabling internet governance landscape and environment. Another thing that has come out of this is the opportunity to interact with other stakeholders from around the world in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. And we've seen that some of the things like the IGF Village have been wonderful spaces. The IGF Village allows people to have a booth and people get to know each other. And there's a real human bridge that is built. And we've seen that the exchanges afterwards, because of those bridges, can be very productive. People now know who's doing what. Where can I go when I have a question about a certain kind of policy issue? And, you know, there is no replacement for that kind of tangible but hard-to-capture exchange. Another thing that we've really seen growing, and many business people have been participating in, the national and the regional IGF initiatives. Part of the whole catalyzing effect of the IGF has to been to build bridges at the national and regional level, which is a benefit to policymakers as well as all stakeholders. And we're really pleased to see how many of those initiatives have sprung up in the past years and are continuing to be planned for next year. I also wanted to touch on one other thing that we've seen change. We also were very hesitant about what issues were going to be discussed. And over time, as certain issues that business might have been hesitant about got discussed at the IGF, now there's a lot more enthusiasm for, yes, let's take some of the controversial issues to the IGF because it's a special space and we can actually discuss that kind of thing, and it's not going to have a decision-making kind of impact, so we can learn from others about what their perspective is and what are their real concerns. I wanted to touch on, we certainly hope that the IGF will be continued, and we certainly hope that we will be all going to Nairobi next year. And we're looking forward to contributing to the initiatives that Alice talked about. And these are ways in which it's not a document that needs to be produced. It's lasting impact. And business is very enthusiastic about making sure that we can be a partner in making that happen next year. I'd like to turn to the discussion about improvements. First, I'd like to say that we've seen over the past five years, the IGF has consistently improved. Every time we go through the preparation process, there are improvements made, there are refinements made. It's been a building process and a collective building process because the program is not defined by any one stakeholder group. It's really everyone together shaping what the program should be, what the issues should be discussed, etc. So we see the references to improvements as though the IGF is broken to really not be very accurate. And as we look to what the CSTD Working Group on IGF improvements will look like, I would like to say that I certainly appreciate the update that Thomas has provided here. We do look forward to seeing the public announcement. However, we're deeply concerned about the idea that IGF improvements could be defined or elaborated by one single stakeholder group. This is a multi-stakeholder forum, and further improvements of the IGF would be best elaborated in a collective mode at every level of the process. So with that, I'm certainly happy to answer questions at the end, but I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ayesha, very much for that. That's a useful description of what a lot of the benefits are, and I look forward to the discussion. Are we ready for... Okay, well, let's just... Yeah. Okay. We're having a little glitches here, so we'll go ahead without the presentation. I'll ask Carlos Afonso to... Last-minute intervention may save us. Well, the tech gods are smiling on us this morning. So I'll invite Carlos Afonso to present an idea that was floated at the IGF in Vilnius this year. And I certainly thought it was an interesting idea. I thought it might be interesting and a fodder for discussion here to ask Brazil to present its proposal to talk about principles for internet governance. And with that, I'll turn it over.
Hello? Okay. I need to look at... where is it? Okay, here. Finally. Okay. To open our conversation, I would like to read a very short phrase from President Lula, who expressed his opinion regarding the WikiLeaks case, as we are talking about the principles of the governance of the internet. Lula said yesterday in a radio program that he is surprised that the young boy was arrested and he is not seeing any protest in the big press against blocking freedom of expression. It's funny, there is nothing, he said. The young boy was only publishing what he read, and if he read, it's because someone wrote it. And if there is anything, anybody accountable, is not the boy, the young boy who published. The accountable is someone who wrote it. So instead of charging or making accountable who published, let's go after who wrote the silly content. Because, therefore, WikiLeaks, my solidarity for publishing these things and my protest against the blocking of freedom of expression. This is the Lula declaration in his radio program yesterday. So let's go now to our presentation. Okay. I will do a quick preamble because we have to understand in which context these principles have been drafted and for what they have been drafted. And this really quick. To begin with, the Internet Steering Committee of Brazil is a pluralist commission which was created by an interministerial ordinance in May 1995 and was amended by a presidential decree in September 2003 with the purpose of coordinating and integrating all Internet service initiatives in Brazil as well as promoting technical quality, innovation, and dissemination of the services available. It's a pluralist commission composed of 8 representatives of the federal government, 1 representative of Science and Technology States Secretariats, 4 representatives of nonprofits, 4 representatives of business, 3 representatives of the academic sector, and 1 senior expert chosen by consensus. The non-governmental representatives are all elected by their constituencies since 2003. The governing CGIBR is also the oversight body of NIC.BR, which is a non-profit private civil society organization, which, among other things, acts as the registry and registrar of the .BR CCTLD, operates internet exchange points in the main cities of Brazil, maintains the CERT.BR service security team, is home to CETIC.BR, an internet and ICT research center, supports the Brazilian chapter of W3C, works with the National Observatory in the operation of the atomic clock and the associated NTP service, supports national and international events and projects related to ICTs for development and internet governance, and provides technical assistance in managing CCTLDs for countries in Latin America and Africa. So, this is the contest. As a pluralist organization, CGIBR try to draft some principles for governance and use of the internet in Brazil to serve as a reference, support, and orientation for its actions and decisions according to fundamental principles. So it's basically a set of principles drafted for orienting the actions of CGI.BR. It's not necessarily, we did never had the intention of this being universally accepted, although we would very much like that this would happen. The set of principles is being now a basic startup reference for the discussion, pluralist discussion, which is a public discussion, open discussion, public consultation on the Bill of Rights of Brazil, which is being now in a very, I would say a very, there is a very strong participation in this process from several sectors of society discussing this Bill of Rights. And these 10 principles were used as the basis to start up the discussion. Okay? So I will just read them. And they are, you notice that, like when you are speaking to a very diverse crowd and you want to drive your point, what you do? You keep it short, right? And that's one of the ideas of the principles as well. You read the phrases and you think, this is too generic. Maybe, but they have a meaning for us, a meaning which allows us to orient our work. Unfortunately, they are not being considered as they should by our parliamentarians or Congress people, because the bills of law which are proposed regarding the internet in Brazil are hairy, very scary, and show that most of the proponents don't know anything about the internet, unfortunately. So the first principle is freedom, privacy, and human rights. And it says the use of the internet must be driven by the principles of freedom of expression, individual privacy, and respect for human rights, recognizing them as essential to the preservation of a fair and democratic society. The second principle refers to democratic and collaborative governance. Internet governance must be exercised in a transparent, multilateral, and democratic manner with the participation of the various sectors of society thereby preserving and encouraging its characters as a collective creation. There is nothing new here. This is practically what was, say, agreed by consensus in the WC's process. No? Universality is the third principle. Internet access must be universal so that it becomes a tool for human and social development, thereby contributing to the formation of an inclusive and non-discriminatory society for the benefit of all. Fourth principle is diversity. Cultural diversity must be respected and preserved, and its expression must be stimulated without the imposition of beliefs, customs, or values. The fifth one is innovation. Internet governance must promote the continuous development and widespread dissemination of new technologies and models for access and use. And the sixth, which is very frequently discussed in our workshops in the IGF, is network neutrality. Filtering or traffic privileges must meet ethical and technical criteria only, excluding any political, commercial, religious, and cultural factors or any other form of discrimination or preferential treatment. Seven, and this I think is quite interesting, network unaccountability. Every action taken against illicit activity on the network must be aimed at those directly responsible for such activities and not at the means of access and transport, always upholding the fundamental principles of freedom, privacy, and the respect for human rights. Eight, functionality, security, and stability. Network stability, security, and overall functionality must be actively preserved through the adoption of technical measures that are consistent with international standards and encourage the adoption of best practices. Number nine, standardization and interoperability. The internet must be based on open standards that facilitate interoperability and enable all to participate in its development. And 10, legal and regulatory environments. This is very short. Legal and regulatory environments must preserve the dynamics of the internet as a space for collaboration. The last slide in the presentation shows the address for more information. This is published in our cgi.br site in English. And there is much more information in English and Portuguese, of course, regarding the activities of cgi.br, which is www.cgi.br, of course. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carlos Afonso. And this is one of those occasions when the remote participants in this session actually had the advantage. I understand they could see the slides if they weren't in the room. So it's your fault for being here. You should have all stayed in your hotel rooms, participated remotely.
And my computer is very small, so you couldn't really see anything.
So there we have the presentations this morning. I think we've got a uniquely expert audience here looking around. I see a lot of IGF veterans, people who are involved in the process leading up to forming the IGF, people who become more involved as the process went forward. If you'll forgive a small commercial, I see a number of ISOC ambassadors to the IGF who are now here in the ICANN meeting. And so I hope we'll have a good discussion. The menu is fairly broad, looking for comments on the IGF so far, thoughts on it, improvements to the IGF. Here's an opportunity to make early comments and suggestions to the host for the next IGF, and also thoughts about the Brazilian proposal to talk about principles. Is that something that's useful? How would you see that applied? So given that broad menu, I'll just open the floor, and I see Wolfgang would like to be our first speaker. And he's even got a microphone. Imagine that. Wolfgang, if that thing ever starts working, please remember to say your name and affiliation.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm from the University of Aarhus. I was involved already in the working group on internet governance and in the IGF from the early beginning. My evaluation of the situation where we are now is that the different parties who have obviously different opinions about the future of the internet are, quote-unquote, struggling for the authority to define what is improvement. I think this is the key question. There is a consensus about continuation, but there is no consensus how it should continue. And so a group was established to make proposals for improvement. And here comes a similar situation we had in the year 2003, when there was no agreement on what internet governance is. And the WCAG was established with the mandate to define internet governance. So it was a question of definition. And the definition which came out from the WCAG became the basis for all other activities, because this was ratified later by the heads of state from 180 member states. But this definition was elaborated as a result of a multi-stakeholder dialogue. That means the drafting of this definition was made by governmental and non-governmental participants in the WCAG. Carlos was there, Bill was there, Avri was there, I was there. That means that it was a natural division of work in the WCAG that the academics have more experiences in defining an issue than probably heads of missions in Geneva. And in so far, the process how the internet governance definition emerged is a very important lesson. And I'm afraid, or I think this could be a problem, is the definition what improvement means could become a very serious political issue if this definition is made by governmental representatives only. They will miss a lot of points, because various stakeholders have various ideas what improvement is, and if some ideas are excluded, this would be very bad for the future of the IGF. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Any progress on the mobile microphones? I have couple of speakers in line. First, Kieran McCarthy, then Martin Boyle, then Stefano Trumpi, I have at this point. And Bill. Yeah.
Hello.
Oh,
great. I just want to, while we're here discussing the IGF, I wanted to raise my biggest concern, which the IGF progressing. Actually, before I do that, I'll say, because Marcus is here and is heading off, that I think he did a superb job. So I'll take the opportunity to say well done, Marcus, for 5 years of very hard work. But with regard to the IGF, my biggest concern is that there is a clear intention on the behalf of governments to, at the moment, to seem to walk away a little bit from the multi-stakeholder model, particularly with some news that we heard yesterday that this group that may be deciding the future improvements are looking at only having a government vote. I don't know whether we know whether that's true, but that's certainly the rumor. There's for a while there's been a movement for governments to make it more governmental, and I know this has been a struggle from day one. I want to know what can we do about it? To my mind, it's a no-brainer. This was a multi-stakeholder setup. It came from WIGI. It came from WISIS. I'm very surprised that governments feel that they should go this route, or that they can go this route. But the question is, what do we do if they decide that they will go this route? Because if governments make all the decisions, if the next IGF, I think Kenya will still probably go along the same lines, but if the next few IGFs start getting more and more governmental, more and more like the ITU, more and more like the UN, what do we do as civil society, technical, business, and so on and so forth? What's the plan? How do we prevent that from happening?
Thanks, Kieran. Good discussion, and I'll look forward to hearing others' views of what the possibilities are for dealing with this. Next is Martin Boyle. Martin, if you hold your hand up, maybe we'll get you a mic. There we go. And please introduce yourself and affiliation.
Is that working? Yeah, it is. Martin Boyle from Nominet. I think it was useful that Carlos reminded us of the output of WSIS. Management of the internet should be multilateral, transparent, and democratic, with the full involvement of governments, the private sector, civil society, and international organizations. And that leaves me with a very, very obvious question in my mind. How will CSTD, in the way that they are pulling together the discussion, take account of one of the key outputs that came from the WSIS process? So while Thomas is thinking about that, perhaps if I then turn to a sort of rather more general input. I think one of the things that came out from a number of speakers is that an awful lot of the IGF benefits have been associated with the fact that people have got constructively and positively engaged in the process, and they've gone away wiser and better informed people. And have then been able to use that to underpin the decision-making that they have had themselves. And therefore, as Aisha put it, the trickle-down effect. And as Aisha also pointed out, the trickle-down effect is actually a very, very difficult thing to try and measure. But because it's difficult doesn't mean to say that it's perhaps not actually quite a sensible thing for us all to do. And therefore, perhaps there is a scope for those of us who have been involved in the IGF process to think very carefully about, well, what have we done differently? What have we taken on board? How have we responded to the things that we have heard in the IGF process? Because I think it's going to be still very difficult. It's going to be an act of faith for a lot of this. But nevertheless, if we look very carefully at what we've done, we will find quite a number of things where we have actually made a difference. The other point I'd like to sort of pick up on is the national involvement in the process. I can look at the Brazilian process, very, very structured, and obviously something that works well in Brazil. I'm not so sure it would work particularly well in the UK, but that, I think, is one of the powers of this process, that we, on a national or regional basis, are looking at how can we develop and use and benefit from the ideas that are going on. Again, it's that constructive engagement in the process, and the more you get involved in the process, the more benefit you're going to get out of it. I applaud the Brazilian approach, and I also then look at what's being done in East Africa and say, here are some very, very exciting things that are happening. And my last point is very much on the younger people and getting them engaged. This is the future generation. They need to understand and certainly the message of trying to get those young people up to developing the skills to underpin the development in their country in the future is absolutely vital. I really do think that this is a very, very promising route forward for getting very real benefits. So certainly I applaud the Kenyan priority on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Stefano will be next. Thank you. Thank you for that, Martin. Very much appreciated. And I'd like to say, because you were too modest to say it yourself, that Nominet has been very, very active at bringing young people to the IGF and involving them. So thanks very much for that as well. I'll ask Stefano Trumpi to introduce himself and make a comment, and then before we go to more questions or comments from the floor, we'll give the panel a chance to respond to the first four. And I do see you, Bill.
Stefano Trumpi. I'm from National Council of Research in Italy, but I serve for the government as a GAC here and also in the high-level group on internet governance in Europe. Last week, at the beginning, we had our IGF Italy, and the national and regional IGFs are very, very important, and because they try to apply the multi-stakeholder approach and bottom-up consultation in the countries, and we have to say that there is the need of also involving the parliamentarians and the ministers, and when we are talking about investing in young people, also today young persons will be future ministers. So we hope that in the perspective there is not need of this strong educational activity that we have to make in confront of the politicians that sometimes do not know about the nature of the internet. So this is very important. And just to make an example, in Italy we had the third national IGF, and initially the minister was convinced that the IGFs were talk show and connecting and having an appeal for bloggers mainly, and for kind of freaks people. So now we had instead a declaration much more mature, let's say, and this is certainly an advance that we get also through the IGFs. And then we are here in ICANN, and IGFs are also exploiting the famous enhanced cooperation process, and this is another point of discussions in New York next week. So it is important through the IGF, we are dealing not only on questions of principles and of content and so on, but also the criteria to manage the infrastructure. And this is certainly another great deal and advantage of the IGFs. Finally, I would say that just in case the four IGFs after Nigeria will become something different and more close to the UN typical meetings, the interest of the community will decrease dramatically.
Thank you, Stefano. I don't know if anyone on the panel wants to respond to any of these things, but I certainly want to open up that opportunity. Anyone? Thomas, please.
I can try to answer a few questions. First of all, there is, and I think Wolfgang put it right, there is at least a formal agreement that the also of all countries, that the IGF is something good. I think those who are who were preventing good language on the IGF from entering into to, and this is not a new thing. They have been doing this for a longer time. Have been preventing the IGF from being described as something good and working. Their problem is not really the IGF. Their problem is that something that not enough, in their view, is happening in another important question, which is called in the UN context enhanced cooperation. And although that even they themselves know that they profit to the IGF to some extent at least, or to a large extent, they have a bigger issue than the IGF, and this is my interpretation, that they use the IGF or try to use the IGF as a bargaining to get something in the enhanced question, which is about the let's say core issues of internet governance. This explains to some extent why the IGF is is not defended by these countries, while they are the ones who could profit the most if they want to from the IGF. This is one point, but the situation that we have now is that some stakeholders want to change the nature, would like to change the nature of the IGF, also because they have no confidence, or they think this is the only way they get to what they understand as enhanced cooperation, that they try to turn the IGF into something that will help them get there, which might not work, I fear. It just threatens to destroy the IGF, which is of no use for no one. So this is my view. To be practical now, what to do in order to defend multi-stakeholder models like the IGF is generally to be there, to contribute to these things, contribute in terms of substance, but also contribute in terms of providing resources, human resources, in preparing these things, these meetings, in providing financial resources of those who can, in helping these things to be strong and to be organized in a professional way. This is one important thing. And this does not only count for the global IGF, because, as it has been said, the global IGF is one thing. The regional and national IGFs are much less politicized. They are much less dependent on these political games that the IGF has become a victim to some extent. And if you support the substructures of the IGF, you also support the multi-stakeholder and the weight of the global IGF. This is something you should not forget those who think multi-stakeholder models are something to promote, they should not forget this. And to be even more practical with regard to next week's meeting, I think everybody who can should be there and tell the CSDD member states how they feel about this and what they want, and give their views and clearly show their expectations. And the other point is that they should tell their governments who are present or who should be present in the CSDD but maybe are not, because they don't take the things, they cry out afterwards when decisions are taken, but they are not present when their decisions are taken, not organized. They should tell their governments what they think they expect of them within the UN framework to defend these mechanisms. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Anyone else on the panel want to intervene at this point? If not, I've got Bill Smith as the next speaker in the front row here, followed by Bill Drake, please.
Thank you. I'm Bill Smith with PayPal. Got just a few comments. The first, based on the on Thomas's response or comment, is basically if those who are looking for enhanced cooperation are in fact serious, limiting participation or even suggesting it will be sending exactly the opposite message to those parties impacted. And I do understand diplomacy and give and take, and that this may be a message, but the message that certainly some of us are receiving is we are no longer welcome. So now the second comment really is, I believe, and PayPal believes, the fundamental of nature of the internet is that it is open, free, and generative. It's essential that this trait be retained in perpetuity. Okay, that it is open, that it is free, that it is generative, and it changes organically, not from above. I believe it is the primary reason, and this by a wide margin, for the success of the internet is the ability of things to pop up anywhere, unfettered, untested even, and for people to try. If the internet were not of this form, I doubt we would have things like Twitter, Facebook, PayPal, and many other things. Okay, I mean, these are just examples. So we consider this an essential component of the internet itself. And with that as a preamble, I'd like to say that the governance of the internet needs to be done in a similar fashion, and we believe it currently is. Is it possible to improve internet governance? Of course, it's always possible to improve. However, I ask that we remain true to the principles of the internet itself that we used when establishing the IGF, ICANN, ISOC, the IETF, and other organizations allowing participation, and strongly hold that multi-stakeholder is the best form of governance given the alternatives. Many say that about democracy. Is democracy perfect? No, but it is better than the alternatives. And we should work very hard to improve from within the system and to improve the system. But if certain parties are excluded from participation, they cannot help or assist with the improvement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. I've got four more speakers on the list here. Next is Bill Drake, if someone could get him a microphone. And then Anna Nevesh will be after Bill.
Thank you.
Hi.
I'm Bill Drake. I'm an academic in Geneva, and I'm on the GNSO Council for NCSG. Like Wolfgang, I was involved in the IGF from before the beginning, and also feel, therefore, given close involvement along with the people on the panel and others here in the room, some real frustration with where we seem to be today. I mean, we went through all these years where we thought that we were making real progress, or we had at least talked ourselves into believing that we were making real progress. My good friend Wolfgang here wrote many an article about how multi-stakeholderism is transforming global diplomacy, and governments have all learned now they have to work with civil society and the technical community and so on. And we went to all these meetings and had nice chats with many, many government representatives who told us how much they thought the whole experience was wonderful and a chance for collective learning, etc. And then you go into a process for IGF renewal, and suddenly it all becomes a completely non-transparent thing where all the non-state actors who have spent so much time and energy on the IGF don't know what's going on. Something's happening amongst the governments, but none of it's transparent to us. And suddenly, lo and behold, it turns out that the governments that have always said that they're strong supporters of the IGF either are not very effective in bargaining or didn't show up or whatever. And meanwhile, the G77 governments that had some had said, well, yes, we've come to love this or think that multi-stakeholderism and the IGF are useful, etc. I don't know where they were in these negotiations. I don't really understand the G77's internal decision-making process, but we apparently have a situation where a fairly small coalition of governments can show up at a meeting and make a decision that sets everything down a completely intergovernmental path. And it's just astonishing, procedurally and politically, that this has been allowed to happen and that we seem to be on this trajectory. And it's very frustrating that those of us who are on the outside of it and feel that they have a stake in it can't do much of anything. Well, you know, we're going to, civil society, ISOC, and ICC, we're all going to write a letter and complain and, you know, this is not right, et cetera, but the governments are going to do what they're going to do. And we could end up with an IGF that looks more like WSIS, perhaps, where, you know, the governments will get together and exchange bon mots about the internet, and then there will be 5 minutes at the end of the session for civil society to make an agreed statement representing all of us, and then 5 minutes for the technical community to make an agreed statement, and 5 minutes for business. And if that becomes the configuration, you have to say, well, what is the point of participating? Maybe we should just let them have it. My wife works for the UN. I go to a lot of those kind of meetings at UNCTAD where you have the G77 expert group meetings, and they get together in a dark, unlit room in the building E, and they exchange some ideas with each other that are completely irrelevant and disconnected from anything happening on Earth, and then they produce a report that's translated into 5 languages that sits in big stacks in the bottom of building E. You can pass all the stacks as you walk to the cafeteria for lunch. And so we'll have the Chinese language version of internet development in the Middle East printed up in glossy copies in UN paper that takes a half a year to produce from the printing office, and that'll be it. And at that point, I guess, you know, maybe we build something else and start over. I don't know. But it's... It's just an astonishingly frustrating situation to be in. Like, after everything we've gone through, to suddenly find ourselves like this. And if there's any enlightenment anybody could provide to me about how this could have been allowed to play out this way, I would really appreciate it, because I've talked to some people, but I don't get it. I don't understand where were the OECD governments. I don't understand where were the friendlies from the developing world. How did these coalitions play out? What's decision-making process? It's just, I'm on the floor speechless.
Thanks, Bill. I'm hoping someday you'll break out and tell us what you really think about this. Stop holding yourself back. And Anna Nevish is next. Please, if we can get the mic over this way.
Thank you, Ana Neves from Portugal and member of the GAC. Well, we have here 2 points. One point is the very strange circumstances under which the CSTD meeting was planned to take place on last Monday. Well, everybody was here in Colombia, and the meeting was taking place in Geneva. But something that we should reflect upon, and before pointing the finger to anyone, is the fact that only Portugal and the United States voted against this solution. So only Portugal and the United States said that we were against the solution to have only governments in the group that will propose improvements to the IGF. Where were all the other CSTD countries that shared the multi-stakeholder approach? So it's a question for the countries. Some of them were there, but they didn't say even anything. So something is really wrong here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. That's really useful information. We've got 4 more speakers on the list here and about 15 minutes. So I'll tentatively draw a line under those and ask Alvaro Galvani to be our next speaker. Alvaro is at the very back, and I think the microphone is at the very front, but if we can get them together. And then just so you can start preparing, Eric Iriarte is following.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Alvaro Galvani from Brazilian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I think we have been talking a lot about government. Maybe it's also useful for me to speak. Well, first of all, do we, considering our national experience and our participation in international forums, we are very comfortable in very much pushing forward multi-stakeholder approach in internet governance in all forums. We have a very great participation in IGFs. We supported IGF in United Nations meetings, CSTD, G77 coordination for the General Assembly. And also during the ITU, I remember two months ago, we had a great conference in Guadalajara. We pushed forward a lot for multi-stakeholder approach. I think we have some... I want to say one clarification and my personal view about the recent issues. Well, first of all, clarification. G77, as any other group, as OECD countries, for example, have different views within its participants. So it's a hard battle inside each group to push forward and defend one idea. I believe that the multi-stakeholder approach was benefit during the discussions, for example, in the G77 proposal for the renewal of the mandate of IGF. I was present in New York 1 month ago when G77 concluded the original proposal, and the original proposal was renew the IGF mandate for more 5 years. This was a completely outcome and a compromise of the G77 group. So when we are coordinated, when we have when we pay attention to the situation and when we are coordinated, we can, yes, defend and support and enhance the multi-stakeholder approach. I think that in contrast, when we talk about the recent decision of CSTD, I think there was a great lack of coordination among all countries, among the secretariat of CSTD. The decision wasn't taken through the bureau of the CSTD. It was a meeting convened in the night during the evening of Monday. The original meeting was, we were expecting to be at the 8th. It was in the 6th of December. Maybe there was a lack of coordination between countries and the secretariat, and especially between countries among themselves. And as Bill said, my personal analysis, since all the information I'm looking for so far, is that a fairly small coalition made a lot of noise, more than they usually can do. So I think we have a hard work in the 17 December next meeting of of CSTD. Brazil is pushing. Will work carefully in order to push multi-stakeholder approach and avoid any kind of special only government participation in this discussion. Finally, I want to do another clarification that I believe we should avoid the distinction between governments don't like IGF. All we international civil society and business, we love IGF. So this kind of opposite situation doesn't seem to be hopeful or useful anymore. I think there are legitimate claims for improvements in IGF regarding, for example, transparency, regarding, for example, accountability, and so on. And I think that if IGF structure, the IGF dream, I would say, if the IGF dream is proud itself of being so open and so transparent, we should try to make this dream open and transparent to those who are claiming changes in IGF. I think we don't need to be afraid of changes in IGF. That's the main point. If we can participate in the discussions, we don't need to be afraid of listening to suggestions of improvements on IGF. So I think a good clarification should have is that just saying that IGF don't need any improvement, this is something that closing the party only to us. We have to transform IGF as global as its own name says it is.
and not only closer to the people who actually in, who already goes to it. So it's a my suggestion in contribution to the debate. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Alvaro. The next speaker is Eric Iriarte, followed by Maria Hall. Eric, please introduce yourself.
Well, I go into the same place than Alvaro to talk after him. My name is Eric Iriarte. I am the general manager of LACTLD, the CCTLD Association in Latin America. And I want to speak three different points. The first point is we need to be congratulated for IGF. What created IGF in the past years for all of us, also the WISIS results, is the possibility of talking inside the countries between the civil society, the governments, the academy, the technical community, with our in our space about the internet. This situation created in Latin America a special group of the governments that call it ILAC. ILAC is Latin American Strategy on Information Society. And we create a group inside them that call it Internet Governance Group. This was a space created for the governments talking with the technical community and the civil society in Latin America to talk about internet governance. Was created in one reason, because IGF appeared. So one of the results of IGF at this moment is in Latin America. We use that to start our discussions. We use in special the vision of Brazil of multi-stakeholder system to talking if that possible in our each countries. That means IGF means for us a gift. But I agree with Alvaro. If we don't improve forward, what means IGF for the next years, only keep in the discussions, only keep in the possibility to talk. Well, the governments open the door to talk. We are inside the room to talk. One more. How is possible to go one step forward with that religion? The technical community, I am in part of the technical community from the CCTLDs, we want to talk, but not only talk, we want to have the opportunity to create something together. For that reason, the ILAC, in the last meeting that we have 3 weeks ago, created the Internet Governance Group again. In this case, it will be coordinated by Peru. In the past year, was coordinated by Argentina. Very useful. And now, one of the principal works for that group created in Lima 2 weeks ago is how move in the internet governance to put at the level of the final user. Not only to talking about big policies, that could be very nice to listen. How is affected the final users, the policies of the governments created for internet governance. We thanks again to IGF for the work of all of you. We need to improve. How? I don't know. But we need to stop only talking and start to doing something very tangible for everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. Maria Hall, and then the last speaker I have is Jonathan Zuck. I'll then turn briefly to the panel to see if there are any final comments. Maria?
Thank you very much. This seems to be the speaker's corner. So anyways, I think I'll stand. I want to start by saying thank you, Marcus Kummer, so much for your tremendously good work. It has been great to work with you, and I hope we're going to meet again somewhere. I just want to echo what my colleagues have been saying. I don't need to repeat everything, because everything that's been said is very important, and I really, really want to echo that one. But I certainly want to say that I really feel frustrated. I don't like this way, the way that things are going, and especially me being a governmental person, I feel embarrassed. I mean, being here at the ICANN meeting, in this multi-stakeholder environment, having all this good dialogue between governments and the business sector technical community, I mean, this is great. This is the way it should be. And, of course, it's so obvious that discussions about a multi-stakeholder forum like IGF, it's obvious this, if you're going to need to do improvements or have development and discuss about things to move forward about this forum, of course that has to take place in a multi-stakeholder environment. I mean, this is so obvious. So thank you very much, everybody, for trying to make some changes. And I don't know what to do, actually. That is something was raised in the beginning. What do we need to do, actually, to to go back to find that discussion again in this working group. So if it's anything I could do except standing here in the speaker's corner and have dialogue with you and everything, so just tell me. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria, and thanks, Jonathan. I see you coming up to the mic.
The speaker's corner. Yes, Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. And I, along with world-famous rapper Tenacious MC, will be in Geneva on the 17th to at least bring some amount of non-governmental perspective to those meetings. The question I want to ask is, maybe, is there some conversation that's happening that we're not having? Because when I hear the justifications for changes to the IGF or frustrations of the IGF being about discomfort with the multi-stakeholder approach or the lack of output, they seem really inconsequential. And usually when governments or anyone feels so strongly about something, there's more going on. Is there? Is it about money? Is it about an agenda that isn't being addressed through the IGF process? Is it about an agenda that certain governments don't want addressed and is being addressed through the IGF process? It might not be just business that are concerned about certain things being discussed. There are certainly issues that come up that cause discomfort for government in the IGF. And so what I'm really looking forward to, as much as I've enjoyed Marcus's tenure as the IGF Secretariat, is the exit interview that you get to give and really tell the story of what you're hearing behind the scenes, because it could very well be that there's a conversation we need to be having that we're just not really having and address the real concerns of these governments that are expressing these objections to the IGF in its current form.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's an excellent question, I must say. I'll just offer the panel one last chance at the mic if there's anyone who would like to say something briefly. Anyone here? I think we're out of time, so I'll invite you to continue the conversation in the hall. I want to thank everyone who's on the panel for their participation here, and everyone in the audience for this excellent discussion. Marcus has asked for the last word, and I'm going to give it to him.
Yes, thank you. Yes, let me start by thanking for the many kind words addressed to me. Very appreciated. At the same time, I share the frustration expressed by some of you. It seems somewhat incongruous that now we seem to be not only back in 2003, but it reminds me very much the situation of the very first WISIS PrepCom, where the non-governmental stakeholders were knocking at the door, and it proved a very tedious and very slow process, but I think in the past years we did make headway. And to end on a positive note, I don't think what we have done in the past years will just disappear. For a decision taken behind closed doors in Geneva early this week, I think it remains here to tell. It is well documented what we have done. A brief side remarks, yes, of course, transparency sounds good, but I would like to know by what yardstick should we improve our transparency. What international organization is as transparent as the IGF has been? Every word ever spoken is recorded on archive as a real-time transcription. We have video webcasts. We last meeting, we didn't have a closed meeting anymore. It was also verbatim transcription. Please let us know what more can be done to transparent. Should we have webcasts in the offices? Maybe, I don't know. Let me also agree with those who pointed to the importance of the national and regional processes. I think this is the single most important legacy of the 5 years of the IGF. We have counted now, I think, 8 regional processes and 16 national processes are listed on the IGF website, and they will not go away so quickly. They will stay, I think, as multi-stakeholder processes. If the central process will change somewhat. I think I set great hopes in a continuation of these national and regional processes as true multi-stakeholder processes. And I think this multi-stakeholder cooperation will live on in one way or another. And with that, I conclude and thank you once again.